The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate wild locust and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord. To borrow a few words from Meredith Willson, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere you go, the trees are being assembled, the Advent wreaths are being put together, the lights are being hung around the house and outside. Children make their wish lists and send their letters to Santa. Christmas cards are being written or emailed to friends and family. Christmas performances and work Christmas parties are finishing up. Cookies are being made. Ugly Christmas sweaters are being purchased. And the stores are becoming crowded with shoppers trying to find that one perfect gift. Christmas can be such a busy time with all the preparations that go into it. It can sometimes just feel like a relief when the holidays are all over and the preparations are all completed and done. Now, I imagine, dear friends, that God might have a feeling much like that with all the overwhelming preparations that God had to do all those hundreds of years ago between the prophets of old and the birth of Jesus Christ. God knows what it's like to prepare for Christ's coming. And Mark writes and makes it clear that John is this voice, the one crying out in the wilderness from Isaiah, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." God sent John the Baptist to prepare his people and to prepare the way for his son. He was to remove the obstacles that would hinder his coming. So how, dear friends, did he do that? And we see that in the text, and we hear that. As Mark writes, John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. John wanted his people to be ready for the coming Savior. He wanted them to remove and confess the obstacles and crooked ways of their sin, for repentance recognizes oneself and shows a way for us to make straight. The prophet wanted their hearts to be prepared for the coming Messiah and for them to see a need of forgiveness and grace that is outside of themselves. And how do we prepare for Christ in this season? We might decorate the tree, go shopping, preparing for parties, but how do we prepare for Christ's coming in this time and season? How do we prepare for the one that has come, that is coming, and that has or continues to be with us in this time? Do we prepare at all? Is it only in our minds, or can the busyness of this season distract us? Our text is a great aid for us in preparing for the coming of Christ. As John shook things up with the people saying he's not even worthy to untie the thongs of his sandals, we, dear friends, are needing of a good shakeup. And we prepare for Christ's coming by repenting for our sin. For when we repent, we see we fall short in our Christian lives and how we miss the mark. We see quite clearly how we cannot save ourselves and how by no means are we perfect. Martin Luther's small catechism is a helpful tool for us in seeing how we need to prepare. This fall, dear friends, our confirmation students all the way since September have been studying the Ten Commandments and Luther's explanation. And maybe Peter remembers from his confirmation days. Repeat after me. No, I'm kidding. But dear friends, with each commandment, we read how Luther starts out by saying we are to fear and love God so that we do not sin against God and our neighbor, but instead we are to do good, uplifting our neighbor, doing good in the world, and loving God. With each commandment and explanation, our confirmation class has discovered that we are in desperate need of a Savior, for Jesus is the one who took the fault, the blame, and the punishment of our sin, as there is no possible way, as we discovered, that we are to be able to live a sinless life. We are pointed to the one who makes things right with God and makes our path straight to God. And as we heard from John, dear friends, we also can prepare by remembering our baptism today. To remember our baptism, we recall the name that has been given and spoken to us, baptizing you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. At our baptism, God's name was placed on us, marking us as his redeemed children and making us members and heirs of God's family. On that special day, we received many gifts: forgiveness of sins, a rescue from death and the devil, and an eternal salvation that cannot be taken away. On that day, we were united with the one who saved and forgives us. The gifts of baptism and the blessings of baptism come because of Christ's death and resurrection for us. When we remember our baptism, dear friends, we remember how these gifts have been given to us. Baptism is the proof and reminder for us as we move forward this season. This week, I got an opportunity to read this story about a radio commentator named Paul Harvey. Some of y'all are laughing. I don't listen to the radio as much. Sorry. Thank you for the laughter, by the way. But anyway, so Paul Harvey tells this experiment involving a chimpanzee and that they were teaching this chimpanzee written communication. For 14 years, this project and its directors labored with this chimpanzee, pampering this chimpanzee, providing symbols in its cage to enable him to form syllables. And finally, the day arrived when it seemed the chimpanzee was going to make a sentence. Other scientists crowded in this room, excited for this historical moment. And at last, the first message from this world's most pampered, most cared for, most patiently trained chimpanzee was about to come forth. And some of you are laughing, so I wonder if you know the end of this story. But what did this chimpanzee communicate? Three words: let me out. As ironic as that chimpanzee's cry was, when we finally admit to our bondage, it strikes to the heart of us, our cry of let me out. Some of us are in addictive behavior like high anxiety, unpredictable anger, bit and biting sarcasm. Others are chained to a grudge that won't leave until it has revenge. Still others are fighting an internal battle with the skeletons in their closet, and it's rattling louder and louder and louder with each day. Whatever your sin is, it has left us in a cage of despair, darkness, and death. Our heart cry has become, let us out. And that is why, dear friends, we look to Jesus Christ, who hears our cry and lets us out from those things. Christ is mightier than death and has swallowed it up and destroyed its sting. He is mightier than guilt, shame, temptations, regret, and the skeletons that are in our closets. He is stronger than the sin and its clutches and has paid for it at the cross with his life and his blood. We are pointed to the mighty one who lets us out by his life and his death and his victory over the grave. Dear friends, may God's blessing to you as you continue in your preparations for this season. Amen.